But briefly, I will remind you, she's reader in film studies at the Media Arts Department at Royal Holloway, and she's the author of Representation of Place in the English Modernist Novel, published in German 1989, and Hollywood Behind the Wall, the Cinema of East Germany. Currently, she holds an HRC fellowship for a project on the diasporic family in cinema, of which this is part, and is writing a monograph entitled Far-Flung Families in Film, wonderfully alliterative, forthcoming from Edinburgh University Press. And we have a delightful title, My Big Fat Diasporic Wedding, Negotiating Between Tradition and Modernity. Daniela.
Now, a few weeks ago, my colleague Zarita Malik, who will later be chairing the roundtable discussion together with me, and I, we were flying back from the SEMS conference in New Orleans. It was an overnight flight, and Zarita knows that I have a professional interest in diasporic weddings, and so she said, why don't you watch The Accidental Husband? It's on the in-flight entertainment menu. So I switched on, and 10 minutes into the film, I thought, surely I didn't get this right. It's a film starring Colin Firth and Uma Thurman, and it's set in a WASP middle-class milieu in New York, and I will be watching in vain for a Bollywood-style wedding. And even when Uma Thurman, a radio chat show host, Dr. Love, realizes that her fiancé, played by Colin Firth, isn't Mr. Right, and she falls in love with a firefighter, Patrick O'Sullivan, played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Turns out he's not of Indian descent either, more likely Irish, judging by his name. But as it so happens, Patrick's flat is above an Indian restaurant, and the Indian owners are his surrogate family. And as it were, their daughter, as it so happens, is getting married, Bollywood style. I think this is a rather accidental connection, but a good enough excuse to slip in the spectacle of an exotic wedding. So in my paper today, I wish to offer a few hypotheses on the cross-cultural appeal of diasporic weddings and explain why there are so many in diasporic cinema. And I'm thinking here of titles such as The Wedding Banquet, Monsoon Wedding, Bride and Prejudice, Yvette Aydoo, My Crazy Turkish Wedding, and many more. One could explain the prominence of wedding films in diasporic cinema as part of a trend fashioned by the British box office hit Four Weddings and a Funeral in 1994, and reworked many times since in films such as My Best Friend's Wedding, The Wedding Singer, The Wedding Planner, and countless more. These wedding films can be regarded as a subgenre of the romantic comedy that build the dual attraction of a romantic happy end coupled with the visual spectacle of one or even several wedding celebrations in the title. Diasporic wedding films modify the generic template in a number of ways. What they add to this well-worn formula is an element of exoticism and spice, a bit like ethnic food and world music does to our daily lives. Nowhere is this more apparent than in Gurinder Chadha's Bride and Prejudice, whose hybrid heritage was promoted with the tagline, Bollywood meets Hollywood and it's a perfect match. Another important difference relates to the importance of family, and here My Big Fat Greek Wedding furnishes an excellent example to which I shall return later. The bride and groom in the diasporic wedding film are typically depicted in the context of the extended family, including uncles and aunts, grandparents and cousins, 27 cousins named Nick in the case of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, whereas in wedding films set in a white middle-class milieu, the couple's peer group, amorous rivals and ex-partners play an important part, but the family rarely matters. According to Pierre Bourdieu, weddings are rites of institution that ritualize the family unit and reinforce the institutional status of the family. They perpetuate structures of kinship and family through a continuous creation of family feeling. Family photos taken at weddings, christenings, and similar occasions memorialize and consecrate the assembled family and also feature prominently in diasporic wedding films. For diasporic families, such rites of institutions play a particularly important role reinforcing and sustaining affective obligations and a family feeling across long distances and in foreign lands. And thereby they counteract the destabilizing forces that transnational migration and diasporic existence may have on the family. Here you have such a photo taking. Oh, sorry. No, sorry, that's later. I see a different picture at the moment. The importance assigned to the extended family rather than just the romantic couple is further explained by the fact that weddings often mark the beginning of an arranged marriage. In many films and the media more generally, arranged marriage is depicted in negative terms, epitomizing the oppressive power of traditional patriarchal cultures and a practice considered irreconcilable with Western notions of romantic love and individual self-determination. Now, let me take a closer look at two examples of such wedding films. Meera Nair's Monsoon Wedding, about a traditional Punjabi wedding, and Sinan Akkus's Yvette I Do, about a Turkish-German inter-ethnic wedding. So that's the wedding photo picture scene that I was just referring to, and you find them in all these films. So, Monsoon Wedding. Set in Delhi, the wedding between Aditi, the daughter of the wealthy Indian textile trader Lalit Verma, and Hemant, a handsome computer engineer of Indian descent based in Houston, Texas, brings together a huge number of non-resident Indian relatives who fly in from Sydney, Muscat, Dubai, and London. When the groom arrives for the engagement and wedding festivities, Aditi is still involved in an adulterous affair with her ex-boss, a sleazy talk show host. However, she ends the affair and confesses her liaison to Hemant and thereby risks that he may call off the wedding, but he doesn't. A scene showing Aditi and Hemant passionately kissing suggests that this arranged marriage will not be devoid of passion. In this way, Monsoon Wedding vindicates the parents' choice of husband as superior to Aditi's own ill-advised choice of lover. How then does this film negotiate the contested relationship between modernity and traditional Indian family values that ensure the survival and the stability of the Indian joint family? Modernity is defined in ambivalent terms, whereby American culture occupies the negative pole. For instance, America in the film is associated with porn movies that are imported and dubbed into Hindi. Thus, globalization has sullied India's erstwhile innocence and purity. Moreover, the family patriarch and benefactor, Uncle Tej, from abroad, possibly America, is exposed as a pedophile who abused Aditi's adopted sister when she was little. Upon the revelation of this dark family secret, Uncle Tej is expelled from the wedding festivities and the circle of the family. On the other hand, Hemant's tolerance of Aditi's premarital affair is depicted in positive terms as resulting from the greater gender equality that he experienced while living in Houston, Texas. Modernity has also brought wealth and the pleasures of consumption to India, and the Verma family as extensive gift shopping scenes and many references to the cost of the wedding indicate. Yet significantly, the wedding takes place in the homeland, and only after the monsoon, and that is explicitly Indian rain, has brought about a catharsis. The spectacle of the Punjabi wedding rituals associates these with the institution of the traditional extended family. The film charts the four-day wedding preparations in considerable detail. For example, the erection of the tent-like structure under which Hindus marry is in the traditional Punjabi wedding colors of red and saffron, rather than in the increasingly fashionable white, which in the Hindu context signifies funeral and has nothing to do with kind of the symbolism of these other colors. The film also shows the engagement party in considerable detail, the traditional Mendi party, where women gather to have their hands and feet decorated with intricate henna designs, and the Bharat, the marriage procession, led by the groom on a white horse and accompanied by the members of his family. And it also shows the exchange of the wedding garlands of marigold between bride and groom. Meera Nair's film reconfigures arranged marriage as an arranged love marriage and suggests that it is a happy compromise between tradition and modernity, India and global Western culture, through this passionate kiss before the wedding that is expressed. The religious aspects of the ceremony, such as the seven steps with which the couple circle round the holy fire, are intercut with the film's final credit sequence. In this way, the religious aspects of the wedding are de-emphasized. Above all, the wedding provides an occasion that reunites the far-flung family and that reinforces the Indian identity of those living abroad. "We finally made an Indian out of you," says one cousin to the other, who has flown in from Sydney. And finally, Monsoon Wedding bridges the gap between Indian, NRI, and Western audiences by simultaneously inviting different viewing positions. In this way, the wedding scenes contribute to the transnational and cross-cultural appeal of the film. According to Kavita Ramdaya's study, Bollywood Weddings, Dating, Engagement, and Marriage in Hindu America, Monsoon Wedding, though not a Bollywood film as such, has become the yardstick by which the Indian-American Hindu diaspora measures the authenticity of a traditional Hindu wedding, suggesting that wedding films fulfill an educational function for diasporic audiences who are gradually losing touch with their culture of origin. Moreover, inviting the nostalgic gaze, they provide diasporic audiences with the reassurance that cultural traditions and family values of the homeland can and do live on, and that the ethnic community and kinship networks remain intact despite the family's dispersal across several continents. For Western majority audiences, Jinga Desai suggests in her study Beyond Bollywood, wedding films offer a non-threatening spectacle of otherness that can be absorbed in the narrative of universal heterosexuality. My second example is the Turkish-German romantic comedy Evet I Do. It pursues an entirely different ideological agenda. Rather than promoting the nostalgic dream that diasporic subjects remain forever true to their culture of origin, or true Indians, for example, Evet I Do makes the case for the hybridization of Turkish and German cultures. The film borrows a number of plot elements from My Big Fat Greek Wedding and combines these with the four-strand narrative of four weddings and a funeral. Set in contemporary Berlin, it intertwines four narrative strands about Turkish-German, Kurdish-German, Turkish gay and heterosexual couples, all of whom want to get married. The German student Dirk and the Turkish-German girlfriend Özlem are the central couple. In keeping with the generic formula of the rom-com, the couple needs to overcome a series of obstacles and traverse borders and thereby validate their love before they can get together in the final reel. Sinan Akkus's film imagines the crossing of borders in spatial. Turkish tradition prescribes that a proper marriage proposal does not just require for the man to elicit the magical words "Evet I do" from the woman he loves, but that he also gets the consent of the father of the bride. And therefore the film's most important sequence, repeated for all narrative strands, is the meeting between the bride and the groom's families. Dirk and his parents are required to enter alien territory, a high-rise building inhabited almost exclusively by Muslims, as Dirk's father notes when he reads the foreign names next to the doorbells. The decor of the living room also marks Özlem's home as alien territory. Now, I show you a little bit of the clip. Of the wedding proposal.
Allah duanlarınızı kabul etsin diyor.
Danke.
Bürgerschön. Wir sind hier, um mit Alas Erlaubnis und dem Beistand eines Propheten von euch Musulmanen, um die Hand eurer Tochter Özlem anzuhalten.
Aber Allah'ın emriyle, Peygamber'in kavliyle benim elimi istiyorlar.
Ne yapacaklar mı senin elini? Peki bu damat adayımız Müslüman oldu mu?
Evet oldu.
Peki sünnet oldu mu?
Baba şimdi bunu ona ciddi ciddi sormamı beklemiyorsun herhalde değil mi?
Özlem, was hat dein Vater?
Özlem, kannst du deinen Vater mal fragen, warum du zum Islam konvertieren musst?
Ja, mach ich gleich. Unser Vater will wissen, ob Dirk beschnitten ist.
Ah. Er ist nicht beschnitten und er wird auch nicht beschnitten. Sagt es deinem Vater, ja?
Helga, beruhige dich bitte. Tülay, ich bin es zwar noch nicht, habe es aber vor.
Was hast du vor, Dirk? Tülay, du fragst jetzt deinen Vater, wieso Dirk zum Islam konvertieren muss. Wieso?
Neden Müslüman olması gerektiğini soruyor.
Çocuklar, babalarını...
The scene makes much of the two families' inability to understand each other without the help of Özlem and her sister, who translate or mistranslate as they see fit. Dirk's parents eagerly demonstrate their open-mindedness regarding Turkish culture. Dirk's mother has donned a headscarf to meet her future in-laws, but Özlem's mother is puzzled by this peculiar attire. Dirk's father has carefully considered whether he should begin proceedings by saying there are several attempts to get this this proposal done. In the name of Allah, our prophet, or should he say in the name of your prophet, and eventually settles for in the name of a prophet. Yvette Aydoux translates inverse class snobbery, a plot device common in screwball comedy as well as recent rom-coms, into reverse ethnic snobbery, whereby the ethnic minority family considers the majority culture groom unacceptable unless he assimilates to Turkish culture. Post 9/11, Turkishness is defined primarily as Muslim identity, and conversion to Islam is reduced to the performance of its most allegedly most alien or embarrassing ritual practice, circumcision. This possibly represents an attempt to de-demonize the specter of Islamic fundamentalism. The film dissociates circumcision from its ethno-religious context, charging it with sexual innuendo instead. Dirk first provides fake photographic evidence of a circumcised penis, though not his own, and when he finally succumbs to the operation, his father joins him, but all for the wrong reasons. He has heard that circumcised men make better lovers. The use of sexual innuendo and humor as a strategy to normalize religious difference has already been successfully deployed in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Here, the WASP groom Ian Miller needs to be baptized and become a member of the Greek Orthodox Church before he can marry Tula Portokalos. His sexy and voluptuous sister-in-law sensuously anoints Ian's muscular body, whereupon the priest dunks him three times and nearly drowns him in the inflatable paddling pool, which serves as a supersized baptismal font. The grotesque rite of passage integrates the majority culture groom into the ethnic minority community and transforms Ian into a desirable Greek man. A similar transformation occurs in Yvette Aydoux, and it does not just affect Dirk, but mother and father too. After initial hesitation, Dirk's parents eventually embrace Turkish culture with enthusiasm and proverbial German thoroughness. At Dirk and Özlem's wedding, the mother performs a Turkish belly dance in which everything wobbles except for her belly. These well-meaning German parents, at whom the film pokes as much fun as it does at the Turkish-German family, don't get it quite right, nor would they have to try so hard, as the film's ironic investigation of cultural hybridization suggests. Germany is already Turkified. Thus, the final frame captures the Berlin Cathedral and the television tower at night. Oh, you can't see that very well. The juxtaposition of these two architectural landmarks of the Berlin cityscape creates a global sense of space, a vista that looks like a mosque with a minaret. To conclude, weddings feature prominently in diasporic family narratives, since they function as sites where culture contests are negotiated and culturally specific rituals and practices are showcased. The formation of the heterosexual couple at the end of monsoon wedding defines the complex relationship between tradition and modernity and between the Indian diaspora and their homeland. In Yvette Aydoo and similar ethnic rom-coms, it creates the fantasy of an unproblematic cultural assimilation or hybridization. And finally, the spectacle of the wedding ritual lends these films considerable crossover appeal and invites multiple viewing positions. Thank you.